Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The parable says that when the Lord as the bridegroom comes, 10 virgins will go forth to meet him. But of these 10, 5 will be deemed by the Lord to be unwise and not ready. So 5 will go into the wedding, and 5 will be refused. Just what is it to be wise and to be ready? Do these terms simply mean to be saved? Bob Danker has joined us today for a striking and critical, important word from the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Bob, we all hope that we'll be considered wise and ready by the Lord in that day, don't we?
Yes, Chris, we all want to be wise, and we all want to be ready, and we all need to receive the help from this parable in Matthew 25.
Well, it's one of the great parables, I would say, in Matthew, one of the great stories really in the Bible, this parable of the 10 virgins. And properly understood, this parable reveals the main point of the gospel of the kingdom, which we're seeing that is really the gospel of Matthew. And it maybe illustrates it more clearly than any of the other stories in this book that we've touched. As an introduction today, Bob, maybe you could paraphrase the parable so that our listeners have a good frame of reference for the message we're going to hear today.
Yes, Chris. In this parable, as you mentioned already, we have 10 virgins. And all 10 of these virgins have oil in their lamps, and they go forth to meet the bridegroom. Only 5 of these virgins are wise and 5 are foolish. The 5 foolish virgins do not take oil in their vessels with their lamps, but the 5 wise virgins take oil not only in their lamps, but also in their vessels. Eventually, as they're going forth to meet the bridegroom, they become drowsy and they fall asleep. This means that they die. So these 10 virgins really signify the believers who will die before the Lord comes back. And then, after they become drowsy and sleep, then they are awakened by a loud cry saying, "The bridegroom is coming. Arise and go to meet the bridegroom." And then after the bridegroom comes, 5 of these virgins, the foolish ones, are not allowed to participate in the wedding. But the 5 wise ones are allowed to participate in the wedding. So this shows us, Chris, that there is a difference among the believers in Christ. Some are wise after they are saved, and some are foolish.
Well, we're going to take 2 days to cover this parable. We feel it's that important, critical, and particularly some of the things that you alluded to in your brief introduction are going to be developed in much more detail. We really look to the Lord that He would shine His light on these verses. There's so much misunderstanding, actually misinterpretation of this parable in Christendom, and we really believe that the Lord could do such a service to His whole body by shining this light for all to see.
That's right, Chris.
Well, let's join Witness Lee. In this first section, we want to see just who the virgins are and what the lamps in this parable refer to. Verse 1 says, "At that time the kingdom of the heavens will be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Then if we jump ahead to verses 6 and 7, "But at midnight there was a cry, 'Behold the bridegroom, go forth to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." All of these words have much meaning and significance. Let's join Witness Lee now.
"Then shall the kingdom of the heavens be likened to 10 virgins. Okay, 10 virgins. By this term, you can realize, surely this is concerning not the work, not the service, not the activities, but the living, the life. We Christians, on the first hand, are virgins. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11:2, says, we are not only the virgins, but the chaste virgins, the pure, the clean, the genuine virgins. You just consider this term. We all have to realize, Maya, our first status is a virgin. Amen.
Amen.
We are just the virgins who took the lamps. It is very clear that the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 27, says what? Says, our spirit is the lamp of the Lord. So what is the lamp here? That is our spirit. And within the lamp is the oil. And what is the oil? The oil is just the last person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit. The New Testament tells us that our spirit is the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. Our spirit is the lamp where the oil, the Holy Spirit, is. This is clear. Then, 10 virgins went forth, not lingered any place, not got settled any place, but went forth. Went forth means what? Going out. Going out of the world. We are not settled in this world. We are going out of this world. Going out of the world to do what? To get a prize?
No.
To get into the heavens?
No.
But to meet the bridegroom.
Amen.
How good the Lord Jesus in this parable likened himself to a bridegroom. Not to a victorious general, a great commander-in-chief. No, but a pleasant person, the most pleasant person, the bridegroom. We are the virgins going, and he is the bridegroom coming. Hallelujah. Oh, the virgins are going, and the bridegroom is coming. So we will meet. Praise the Lord.
Wow. The bridegroom is coming, and we, the virgins, are going. That's a marvelous word to conclude this portion on, Bob.
A marvelous word.
You know, this parable has most commonly been interpreted as referring to the believers as the wise ones and unbelievers or false believers as the foolish. But we're saying quite categorically, emphatically, that all 10 of these virgins must be the saved ones, must be all born-again believers. Bob, why can we say this with such certainty?
Well, Chris, there are a number of reasons why we can say this with very strong certainty. The first reason, as Witness Lee pointed out, is that all 10 of these are virgins. And according to Paul's word in 2 Corinthians 11, the believers are virgins in their relationship to the Lord, whether we're males or females, humanly speaking, still in our relationship to Christ, we are all virgins. The unbelievers are not virgins. They have no relationship to Christ at all. Only the believers have the relationship with Christ of being virgins. So this gives us a strong ground to say that all 10 in this parable are believers. All 10 virgins are believers. And also, Chris, all 10 have oil in their lamps. That means all have the Spirit of God in their spirit. That means they're all regenerated, all born again, born of the Spirit. Everyone is a born-again believer. And also, all 10 are going forth to meet the bridegroom. We cannot say that the unbelievers are going forth to meet Christ, the bridegroom. No. They are going to eventually meet Christ as their judge, not as their bridegroom. But we, the believers, are going out of this world to meet the Lord as the bridegroom. We can say strongly, all the virgins in this parable are believers. The fact that 5 of the virgins are foolish does not mean that they're false. In nature, all 10 are the same. All 10 are virgins. All 10 are genuine, regenerated, born-again believers.
Bob, these are very strong points to make this case. And we sit here as those who have not figured this out for ourselves. Actually, through church history, There has been a line of this truth, this interpretation of this parable, that stretches well back, but it's been lost or covered through the ages, because it's not a comforting word when we get to the conclusion of the parable, is it, Brother Bob, to realize that as believers, as ones who are eternally to be with the Lord, there may be some loss ahead.
That's right, Chris. This is not a comforting word, but it is a very helpful word.
Amen. Well, in this coming section, Bob, it's also helpful, I think, to see just what it is to be the wise virgins. Verse 2 says, five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, did not take oil with them. But the prudent took oil in their vessels with their lamps. We're going to hear another reference to the word vessels from the New Testament in this coming section, and that is found in Romans chapter 9. Verse 23 says, in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory. Surely that must be us, vessels of mercy. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
Then, verse 2, and five of them were foolish. The number five is the number of responsibility. Here, five foolish ones, five prudent ones signify all of the believers need to bear the responsibility. And here it is so clear that the Lord Jesus didn't mention the five prudent first. He mentioned the five foolish ones first, because in bearing responsibility, the problem here is not with the five prudent, but with the five foolish. Then verse 3, for the foolish. Now I'll give you the reason why they are foolish. These are the saved ones, because they have the lamps. But they did not take the oil with them. The oil, which is a problem, is not the oil in the lamp, but the oil in the vessels. Every virgin has a lamp and a vessel. The foolish one, why they are foolish? Just because they have a little oil in the lamp to burn the lamp, but they don't have an extra portion of oil in the vessel. Then the next verse, but the prudent took oil in the vessels. Then what is a vessel? Well, the vessel is mentioned in Romans 9. In a way, the human beings are vessels made by God. And our human being is in our soul. Our soul is our personality. So the vessel here indicates what? Our soul. We, the believers, all have the Spirit of God in our spirit for regeneration, for a kind of burning. But whether we have the extra portion of the Holy Spirit filling our soul up or not, this is a question.
Well, Bob, just to echo his word, whether we have the extra portion of the Holy Spirit filling up our soul or not, this is the question. We want to look at that question. Actually, I'm going to save that question specifically to our final segment today. I'd like to take a little bit of time here and talk about the distinction or the difference between the lamp and the vessel. That's critical to gaining the full understanding here. Can you touch this for us?
Yes, Chris. Here I'd like to express my appreciation to Witness Lee for the careful way that he interprets the Bible. You know, in interpreting the Bible, we should not insert our own concepts and we should not use our own imagination. The only way to interpret the Bible is just to use the Bible itself. The Bible interprets itself. So to understand the virgins, the oil, the lamps, and the vessel in this parable, we don't need to rely on anything but the Bible. And as Witness Lee pointed out so well, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 clearly says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So this lamp in this parable surely signifies our human spirit. Just as you have oil in a lamp and this oil is burned to give off the light. You know, we have the Spirit of God as the oil in our spirit. As long as we have been saved and regenerated by the Lord, the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit as the divine heavenly oil. And this is why there's something shining within us. God is the light within us, in our spirit, and He shines. So our spirit is really the lamp. But then, what is the vessel? Well, according to Romans 9, God created man to be a vessel. That means man is a vessel to contain God. And of course, as human beings, according to the clear word of the Bible, we human beings are souls. Sometimes in referring to persons in the Bible uses the word souls. For instance, when Jacob and his family went down to Egypt, it says 70 souls went down into Egypt. That means 70 persons. So our person is our soul. Our vessel is our person, and our person is our soul. That means our vessel is our soul. So here we have a clear indication that the lamp is the spirit, and the vessel is the soul. The important thing that we need to realize from this parable, Chris, is that it's not enough just to have oil in our lamp. That is, it's not enough just to have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in our spirit. As this parable clearly shows us, we also need to gain an extra portion of oil in our vessels. That is, we need to pay the price to allow the Holy Spirit as the divine oil to fill and to saturate our souls.
Bob, we want to talk about this point in a little more detail in this coming section, and that is, how does one become wise in this sense? How do we gain such a reserve supply in our vessel? For that, we'll join Witness Lee and then have a few minutes together at the close of the program.
Our spirit is the lamp, and our soul is the vessel. When the spirit is in our spirit, that is the oil in the lamp. But we need an extra portion of the spirit in our soul. And this signifies what? It signifies that the spirit within our spirit will spread from within our spirit into every avenue, every corner of our soul. So in our soul, we will have an extra amount of the Holy Spirit. If we have these, we are prudent. If we don't have these, we are foolish. In other words, today, if you are indifferent to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you are just foolish. If you are wise, if you are prudent, you must pray, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, I like to have your spirit not only in my spirit. I like your spirit to fill my soul up. I need the infilling. I need the extra portion, extra amount of the Holy Spirit that fills my whole being. I tell you, this is the what? The oil in the vessel. Whether you are prudent or you are foolish, it doesn't depend on other things, only on this one thing. If you don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your soul, you are foolish. Why? Because if you don't have this extra portion of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be watchful. And you can never get ready. For you to be watchful and for you to be ready, what do you need? You need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to spread himself from within your spirit into every inward part of your being. To spread himself into every avenue, every corner of your soul. Only by this infilling of the Spirit, we are able to be watchful. And we are able to be ready. We all are virgins. But are we the foolish ones or the prudent ones? It all depends upon the preparation of the extra portion of the Holy Spirit in our vessel.
Bob, I appreciated his prayer in that section very much.
That was wonderful, Chris.
Yeah, we need to all echo that kind of prayer, I think, every day before the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's talk for a couple minutes, Bob, about the very point here. When we receive the Lord, we all receive the Spirit. We're all regenerated by the Spirit. Apart from the Spirit of God, there is no such thing as salvation or being born again or being regenerated. Yet there's this other aspect now of a further infilling of the Spirit into our soul, our vessel. Practically, help us with this. What does it mean? How do we achieve this extra portion that is so critical?
Well, Chris, Witness Lee, in this portion, he mentioned this matter of a gradual spreading of the Spirit from our spirit into our soul. This is not a sudden outpouring of the Spirit like the disciples experienced on the day of Pentecost. This is a gradual, daily spreading and growth of the indwelling Spirit from our spirit into our soul. I also appreciated Witness Lee's prayer here. He prayed, Lord, I don't want to be foolish. I want to be wise. I want to have you as the Spirit spreading into my soul all the time and all the time filling me and saturating me. This will make me watchful and this will make me ready when you come. So we need to open ourselves to the Lord and even ask him and pray that he will fill us. And we need to realize that just to have the Spirit in our spirit is not adequate. It doesn't make us watchful and it doesn't make us ready. We need to gain the Spirit day by day. This is our need, and we need to realize this need, and we need to open to the Lord and pray to him not just once in a day, but even all the day long. Lord, I want you to fill me. I don't want anything else to fill me. You know, we are vessels. We could be filled with many things, but we need to cooperate with the Lord so that he will be the one who fills us, so that the things of the world or the things of our old man, our old person, will not be filling up our mind, emotion, and will, but that Christ, as the life-giving Spirit who dwells in our spirit, will have the way to spread into our soul, so that our soul gradually will become filled and saturated with him. This is our greatest need, Chris. Actually, we have been saved, and our eternal destiny as believers is determined. We can never be lost. We're eternally saved. But whether we will be ready for the wedding when the bridegroom comes depends on whether we are wise or whether we are foolish, whether we pay the price to gain the extra portion of oil or whether we do not pay the price.
As we finish this parable tomorrow, Bob, we're going to see, yes, indeed, there is a price. Nothing of value is without price, except, of course, the salvation that we receive freely by grace by our believing in him. But this reward does have a price in the way we live and how we live and how effectively or how earnestly we are experiencing this day-by-day infilling, this gradual infilling and spreading will all together determine things as they work out in that day when the Lord comes back. Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed our time together very much today. For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.